Hallelujah. You're welcome. God is good. And all the time, He's always good. And He's never been bad. God is good. And Satan is bad. God is good all the time. The devil is bad all the time. So there's no day they can, two of them can change. So you can choose to go with the good one or the bad one. Good. We are welcome once again to the house of God. Today I may conclude the God which I've been talking about, our encounter that I believed, and I know that if God does not reveal Himself to any man, no man can know Him. So He comes in contact with us and we have an encounter. So all the areas that people had encounter, He is the one who showed Himself. And He's the one who made them see them. And at any point, He's the one who gets in to solve the problem. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reading about a battle between Israel and between Saul and Goliath. Saul as the captain of Israel, or the president of Israel, or the king of Israel. Then a champion. The Bible described Goliath a champion. And I said that battle was not a battle that you hide behind somebody to fight. There are some battles we can fight them as a group. But there are some battles you fight it alone. There's a battle we fight it as a church. And everybody is there casting that demon out. You are bold, in the name of Jesus, come out. But there are one, you meet the devil one-on-one. And he looks very dangerous. You look left, look right, look forward, look back, there's nobody. You are standing alone. So your power, whatever you can gain, is in your hand. Either you surrender or you fight and win. So in life, we have all this. So David, there was that battle. And Israel encamped on one side. And the people also, their enemies also encamped on the other side. Then they threw. They said, this battle, we are not going to fight as a group. Just get us one person. The one that is able to overcome the other, they win. They're like football. When Ghana is going to play Nigeria, it's not the 30 million Ghanaians against the, how many million Nigerians? We meet Nigeria, I'm using Nigeria because they are our sisters. They are our neighbors. Then we have to choose 11-11. It doesn't matter the population of Nigeria. If our 11 score their 11, we've won. If their 11 score our 11, we've won. I have a friend in Nigeria say, I don't understand this gun. This small country. Really small population. If they score, it pains me. I said, unfortunately, it's not population that we use to fight, to play football. We use skill and talent and strategy. So if Ghana strategy works, we score almost over 200 million or one something. What is the population of Nigeria? Huh? 220. Great. When you put France, German, all this together, Nigeria is. Oh?
Yes.
We should call Nigeria superpower. Nigeria is a superpower. But they don't know their superpower. So this is not a population, this is not a number. It is the people you chose to go and fight. If you choose wrong people, they will come back being defeated. If you choose right people, they will come back defeated. So you also need a good coach who will put a strategy. And normally, most of the time, when people fail, is their coach. We blame. Oh? And we pay dollars in Africa to bring a coach. Because we know the role the coach plays if we want to win. We have a greater coach, which is Jesus Christ. As you go to your battle or to play your ball, because you understand football better than anything, you have that coach there who's never lost a game, coaching us, taking us to the battlefront. Why do you think you should fail? So, brethren, Israel was put under certain kind of stress. And nobody could meet them because there are champions in it. There are some players that are very good. Like the one, who do you know the one who is good? Huh? Messi? And who? Ronaldo? Imagine they assemble Messi, Ronaldo, and this and this. You come and play Accra House of Hook. Or Oli Dade. They say, I go swear. Or BA United. Bofuakwa. The moment you see these players, we ourselves know that we have been defeated. If they ask our players to go to the park and they say, these are the players we are going to meet, I can give you 70% that they won't walk to the field. Because they know when they go there, they'll be disgraced. Huh? You can't even support them well. The drums and the piano go, it will play low and a low tone. Because you've seen champions, professionals, coming to play against people who even against themselves, they don't play well. That's why somebody, 1 week, you know how much they pay someone in 1 week? How much? Some of them, their 1 week is like your total lifetime salary plus your end of service benefit. And you see people playing, but the price on them different. There are some players, they pay heavy amount to get them. Some, you have to go and beg to get the place to play so that they can give you something. You have to do the arrangement. You have to convince that I can play. And here they are with David, who plays Lagos City. Legon cities. They said, let Legon cities one person to come and play a penalty. And let Messi, two of them will have penalty. The one who scores has won. You know Ghana and penalty. The moment they say this game is penalty and the line at the people, you see your people, you know you're going home. So it was Messi versus Legon City. And David versus Goliath. Goliath has the experience. Goliath have learned how to fight. He knows how to take the ball, the thing, and he knows how to throw the javelin and knows how to. He's huge, he's big, he's got the armor bearer, he's everything that can protect him. And he has experience in war. Those who are very experienced on the field, so now the way they put the ball, they can make the ball walk on their legs. I don't know how they do it. And so the way they kick the ball, they know how to kill the ball. They know where to pass, coordinate the thing for the ball to pass through some place where the goalkeeper will not get it. Most of them, they don't play over the bar. Like us, like me. I didn't mention anybody's name. Like me. They know how to stand against pressure. Sometimes you get a penalty and everybody's looking at you. If you don't take time, tension alone. But his size and depth, they know how to handle the tension and score. And you, village boy, you don't know tension. They put it there, face to face. The goalkeeper do this, you get confused. Either you play over the bar or you play into the hand. Ah! So this is the man like me going to face Messi. I've played football before. I played football. I was a good goalkeeper too. My reflexes were very good. But not like this. This is village football. So now you can be a village champion. If you like come to Accra, you'll find that your ball, nothing. So there was a battle, and nobody could come forward. Sometimes there is penalty. And people fear to play. Especially when the thing is tense. And this is the one that should decide. Everybody wants to dodge the penalty. But people want to score. People want to add to their score. Listen. But at that point, nobody wants to take the blame. So everybody was afraid, including Saul. And this man will come and tell you how many goals he scored and tells you what he can do. And you look at the history of the champion and you look at yourself and say, I'm not him. Champions can frighten. So there was a champion who was asking for one man. So who is the man that will face him? The king. The tallest. The strongest. The commander. The one who says he should be more experienced. He himself was afraid. And when he speaks, he won't speak love words. He will speak things that will frighten you. That's the way the devil works. When it comes, you have a problem, He will not give you the positive side. He will only give you the negative pictures. And that alone can cripple your faith. And David came to the scene, as I read last week. And when he got the scene, he heard it, his brothers were there. And he said, what did I want to fight? I can fight him. And eventually he convinced them, to convince the king was a problem. But sometimes you can do something, but nobody knows you can do it. And nobody will give you something you can't do. They know, they are not sure you can do. How can we put our life in the hands of this small boy? Huh? Imagine Ghana is looking for a team and the blacks are saying, they say, we won't play, we can't play. And we have already registered to go and play for this. Then Lagos City, they said, nobody is to play. The Lagos City say, we are going to play them. The coach will look at the Lagos City, look at their size. Look at them from the top to the ground. Look at their feet and their hard. He said, kick the ball, and the boy will take the ball like this. He can't even keep the ball on the feet. He said, hey, this is the one you're going to play World Cup. But David had encounter. He knows that there is somebody who is indeed in charge of the army of God. Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth. The God of hosts. When it is mentioned, most of that is also mentioned in connection with battles and warfare. He is in charge of the host of heavens and the host of earth, even including the creation, whatever he's created. To the extent that he can decide to ask hailstone to fight. He can decide to say, hey, to turn the sun, move it back. You see, it's like military is all about command. He gives command, it goes down, and every rank has got its own group. There are some people, they handle only a platoon. There are some, they are able to, their level is a company. Plenty, they say, many platoons put together, or those who are military here. But it's your rank, wherever you are, you are given much. So it comes out, and these people report to this one, and this one report to this one, and this one report, and they take the same command. So anytime you disobey any command under there, it is not the guy who commanded you to disobey. It is the top man that you disobeyed. That's what he said. Do before you complain. Well, the one who is even giving the command, maybe he received it from somewhere, from the top. He can't change the command. There's a command change. He can't change it. As it came, the same way, he will pass it down. God is the one that gives the command. And when God commands, who else can change it? David, who had an encounter with the God of the battle or the God of the armies. With that God of the armies, he was able to face the lion. I told you last week, for a human being, not a big boy, not a giant, but a human being who, when we see lion, do you know what will happen? What happens? What do you do? We run. But a human being who will chase a lion that is taking, that is having food in its mouth, to go and remove the food from the mouth of a lion? And you look at that human being, small boy. The God of the army commanded him, don't let this animal kill and take that man. He will go and remove, he will hold the mouth of the lion. I don't know how big, how strong this man, but he was just acting on the command and opened the mouth of the lion. And I went out after it and strike it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, what do I do? I caught it by its beard and strike and kill it. He said, look, I am not the one who ran away from lions. Lion is called the king of the forest, but the king of kings, I have met him and is in control of the king which is in the forest. This is a man who have had an encounter with God. If you've never had that encounter with that God, you'll run away. He said, it's not I haven't done it to only the lion, the strongest two animals in the forest. I've done it to them. The same way I'm going to do it. Your servant has killed both this and that and that and that. Seeing he has what? Defied what? The armies of what? The living God. So whose army is that? So who is God? Commander? So I will sit down. So he rose up. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. The Lord who delivered me from what? Our captain, our commander-in-chief, he is a deliverer. He is our shield. No wonder David said, God is his shield. He protects me. And the one of the reasons why we'll be afraid is when we are unprotected. Once you're going for a war and you have your protection, you know your enemy cannot break through your protection. That's number one. You won't be afraid of the enemy. So I said, look, God is my shield. I don't need the shield of Goliath. Saul. Because Saul, your shield is porous. Your shield, Goliath can go through it. But God will be my shield. And he said, God, which I have met in the wilderness, that I've revealed that army, the commander of the army of God, that I've met my commander, that I've met me in the wilderness, that same God is my shield. He's also my sword. He is the one who's going to fight this battle for me. For me, I am not going to fight. I'm just going to be an instrument. And he, God, will fight for me. So he knew that he was not going to fight Goliath. He knew that God was going to fight Goliath. He, God, just needed a vessel just to make it happen. Like some of you, the way you fear witches. You know, witches don't come in person to come and squeeze your head. But you say, when they want to kill you, of you, he used a car. But why is the other didn't die by you alone? Just use it. So that it is not even the stone. It is a spiritual army that was going to fight. It is God himself with a spiritual weapons going to fight. Well, even if David, look, if he threw the stone here, the stone will fly and come back and hit. He wasn't relying on his experience, but he was relying on that God. When God takes your stone and you throw it, you wait. The stone itself will go and find where the enemy is and kill it. When the God of the army, when he's leading his army, nobody can defeat that army. Yeah. One of the reasons is that we assume the position of God and allow the devil to face us, and instead of the God who is our captain, who is leading us, who is moving on. There are many who came in contact with them. And most of the time concerning war. When Joshua was going to take the city of, that was fully war. Everybody was afraid of that city because its protection was concrete. It is great. There's no way you can break through. And God asking them, go and defeat that country, that city. Even how to enter inside is a problem. And because of them, the Bible said that the gate was strictly shut. And God said, go and take a place where it is shut. Go and defeat a people who are protected. It doesn't look like it's sensible. And that was their first battle. Huh? Your first war, you should have, because you have started with small thing. First war is a walled city. First battle is a city which everybody is afraid of. And God said, this should be the first you should fight. So on their way, Joshua, I don't know what was going through Joshua's mind. Going to, hey, this city, how are we going to take it? Like some of our, we are talking, hey, how am I going to make this life? Don't worry. While he was there, somebody appeared to him. And he said, look, I have an encounter with them. Listen, I don't know whoever you are. Who are you? Are you for us? Or you are against me? If you're against me, I'll try to fight you. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword, sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? If you are for our enemy, then we are finished. Because the way the man is well-dressed, the man looks very experienced. If you look at his sword and you look at Joshua's sword, he knows that this sword cannot overcome this. Just like taking a locally manufactured gun against AK-47. The one, when you finish, you have to load and put powder inside, gunpowder, and hit. By the time you finish, you are dead. So he saw this man with superior weapons. He asked him, are you for us or you against us? If you're against us, then we are finished. And the man says, I am who? So he said, no, but as commander of what? The army of the Lord. I have now come. You were afraid. The commander has what? Now come. Oh, I love it. And Joshua fell on his face toward to the earth and did what? Worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Anytime we meet God, what we should first desire from him is his word. So what does my Lord say to his servant? I don't know whether he said something. Then the commander of the Lord army, the commander of who? So there is a commander who is in charge of the Lord's army, which is unseen. There's someone fighting alongside who directs and makes you take some decision which you are not aware. Sometimes you are there and you feel like, oh, let him go here. You move there and you bump into somebody and the person says, oh, I want to help you. It is that commander. Sometimes we think our life is in our hands. When you are failing, he brings that man on your side. He brings that person on your side that said, now that I have come, oh, look, I love this. Take your sandals off your foot. The way you used to walk, remove it. You walk in your own concept, in your own mind. You have a way that you always walk. Now remove that. You can walk on that path and win the battle. You don't use civilian sandals to go for war. You don't use chalewate to go for war. You need God's boots. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to him, to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is what? Holy. You must come in contact with the holy ground. Don't let anything stop you from being holy. The sandals will separate you from the influence of the holiness on the ground. Now remove it so that you can have direct contact with holiness. So he removed his sandals. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, he said what? Tell somebody, see. So the ability to see is very important. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. That's where his faith rose up. See, what you are afraid is in your power. Amen. It is in your hand. Amen. See, I have given what? Where is Jericho? In the hand of Joshua. Can Joshua? He says, see, I have what? Given. He didn't say, I will. He said, what? I have. I have means what? So where is it now? In the hands of Jericho. Sometimes your breakthrough is already in your hand. Amen. The spiritual battle has been won. What is left is a manifestation of what has been done in the spiritual realm. When God fight a battle for us, when he lead us into the battle, he said, I love God. I love this God. He always said not to be afraid. For he will fight our battles for us. He said, I will fight this battle for you. Whenever you meet a battle and it is stronger than you, remember that it's not yours. is God. And surrender that aspect, the spiritual aspect of it. Every battle has got both physical and what? And spiritual. And it is the spiritual that controls the physical. That was exactly what was done to the Syrians. When they came around Samaria and encased them in their own city, none could come out, none could go, and every supply got finished. To the extent that women were eating their children. They had never entered this difficult time before. Sometimes what you don't want to do as a person, situation can force you to do it. You are doing it, but you are crying. You don't like it. But it's survival. Women ate their children, and the Lord of the army, the king, heard it. It was more difficult than what we think we are going through. The king then asked to call a prophet. And when the prophet came, he told the prophet, "You are the one troubling us." It's the church. Whenever there's a problem in any place, they want to blame the church. They want to blame the answer. They will take the church, dissect it, destroy it. They will magnify the little bad nuts in it and generalize it like the church have done nothing. They forget the schools the church built and which their own children, including them, went to those schools. And those who taught them how to speak English, and they're using the English to insult the church. While they're insulting the church, they still want their children to go to the church's school they have established. And some of them are ready even to pay any amount to get their daughters and their sons to the church's school. There are schools, Frafra, there's a school in Frafra here. But you won't send your child to Frafra. You will pay. You said things are difficult. Petrol price is high. But you will drive from here to Cape Coast. Meanwhile, there's a school. How did the schools become like that? The church brought discipline and the church brought order. It took some time to build that thing into that place for it to make a name. When you are insulting the church, say good things about the church. I hope you are getting me. The God Joshua met it. And once God declared it, it is done. They didn't need to lift a sword. They didn't need to do anything. Even though Joshua would look at the wall, and you can't imagine how that wall will fall. David will look at Goliath, and you can't imagine naturally how you can kill Goliath. But once the captain, the one, the commander in chief, he's the one who will give you the strategy. He strategized. He said, "This battle, this is not hard to fight it. You don't fight it the ordinary way. This is how you must fight it, David. If you use a sword, you'll be killed. If you use A javelin, he's more experienced in the javelin than you. But I will take what you have. Sometimes God doesn't take anything very mysterious to win battle for you. The little that you have, God can take it to win your battle for you. He said, David, you have your sling with you? Yes. David, I know you don't have stones. He said, yes. And this place, you can get stones everywhere. Go there. So he moved. In fact, David went into the battle without stone. Going to fight a giant with a gun without bullets. On his way that he found the five stones because the commander had given him. There are stones somewhere. The stone which the men rejected shall become the cornerstone. Not any place. There is a place where there's a stone. And that stone have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. The water have passed on it several times, which is the Spirit of God. It has soaked God's Spirit so much that you don't need to struggle. The Spirit of the Lord knows how to use it. He will turn it and move it until it gets to Goliath. So the strategy was to go there to pick the stone, and it's being guarded by not GPS, but this is God guided. He said, this is a modern warfare. Is that a warfare? You will stand and find God. I know the coordinate or the forehead of Goliath. And have programmed this stone. And this modern warfare, sometimes they are dead, they can program it to hit some place. And it will go out and hit that place. He said, this is where I've programmed it. So God then programmed the whole thing. This one, when you release it, there could be two people standing. It will, where I've programmed it. He took it. This day that the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bears of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me tell you that the world should know that there is a God. Sometimes people begin to talk anyhow about this God. They think it does not exist. He does not exist. Leave it to them. There is going to be a day that God will shake himself, and all will know that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth, including the human beings in it. He picked it, threw it. The God of hosts picked the bone. That is him. It was coordinated. And when the giant saw David, he became angry. Do you know why? Even the weapon he was holding is an insult. It was a great insult. A giant that you are coming to meet, an experienced general like me, and you are coming with what? Stones and stick, and you use, no, excuse me, to you, excuse me, those who have pets. I'm not insulting your pets. I know some people are very, very sensitive to their pets. But in our days, some years back, we use sticks to kill dogs. They say a bad down one. Okraman count. You understand what it means? So, the sick means that he is a dog. He's telling you, I am not coming to fight you even like a human being. I'm coming to fight you like a dog. I will kill you like how we kill dogs. And the guy was surprised with all these protective things behind, with his armor bearers. Where will you pass to use this stick to hit a metal? How? Is that guy crazy? He said, you are a dog. You are a dog. Avu. I'm coming to you. And the man became very angry. His pressure went high. And he was so angry. But David did not run away. He ran towards him. For he knew that in the spiritual realm, the battle has been won. It is not what we see that we find. It is when what has been done in the spiritual realm. Some of you are millionaires in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
And no one, when God makes you a millionaire, no one can make you a poor man.
Amen.
Hey, let them try to suppress all avenues. God will open a better avenue for you. When God heals you in the spiritual realm, it's very easy for the doctors, whatever they give you, makes you recover. Amen. Including para.
Amen.
But when the spiritual realm, you are dead, they can give you the best medical officer, you will die. So the essence of even prayer, it's not only for the physical, but for the thing to be done in the spiritual. So that the physical will succeed.
Yes.
David won the battle from the spiritual realm. And when he got close, God has already programmed the stone. You just have to launch it. So he launched his weapon. And the weapon went into the air. With a speed, dodge almost everything. He thought he was fully protected, and David put his hand in his back and took out a stone and slung it and strike the Philistine in his forehead. You know, he was putting on what? The helmet. So how did it get through the helmet to his forehead? When God works things, when things are done in the spiritual realm, your protection is gone. He thought he was protected, but God said, oh, this is nothing, not even anything can kill me. No, not even a sword, because I am fully protected with my armor bearers carrying my shield, and the shield is to stop everything that is coming towards the giant. It escaped, it went round the scale, the shield. Well, when it got there, it became invisible to those who are holding the shield, because this is an invisible God. It takes it and takes it and takes it. And maybe he tried to look into the air to see what is there. Then there was a small space. And God passed through that and that small space and entered into the head. And when he entered in the head, the stone didn't stop there. If it had hit only once there, so it went into the brain and started still working, going round and going round, going until it smashed all the brain. Little stone destroyed a giant. It didn't take a big stone to kill the giant. Your little money can make you a big businessman. Your little faith can move the big mountains. God doesn't need bigger things to win battles. Sometimes we try to put God in. We try to look at God like a human being. God is not a human being. He is God. If you put your trust in him, he will fight your battle for you.
Amen.
The God who fight war for us. He is the God that fight for the weak. God, when you are weak, you become strong because the strength of God will become your strength.
Amen.
He's a God of war, the God of battle. At a point, not only David, he fought for Israel. There are times he, God himself, will roll stones. He can use anything. Use hail. In fact, he was the first Air Force, listen. Fight from before you realize the things are coming from heaven. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descendant of Beth Heron that the Lord cast downward large hailstones. Look, let me tell you, large hailstones, we'll call it bomb now. We'll call it whatever it is. It was from heaven. Before Air Force, God was there. That, and they didn't know what Air Force, so they would say stones. But God was fighting. When God is fighting, when you enter underground, he will get there. When you want to move here, he will come from heaven. Any place, every side, you cannot escape God. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is why we want God to be on your side. God to be on my side. God to fight on your side. God want to fight for you. In fact, that what we are in at the season in which we are in, we need God to fight for us. The world is system is not favoring the believer. The spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. The army on the earth, yeah? Army in heaven. Angelic armies can be released to come and help us to fight our warfare. But in the angels, there are also military. This is hierarchy. See, in fact, the people say, they all say that heaven, number one thing, is order. Why is it order? Because of the military hierarchy. Satan tried to disobey orders. And they fell out. We are fighting a time and a very serious time. A season where heaven must win. The world must lose. What is holding the mind of people, the soul of people, he is holding the life of people. If God does not come down to help us, like the Bible said, Isaiah said it, and Paul repeated it. If God hadn't come to our aid and come quickly, that would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah said it, and Paul repeated it. God shall come to your aid quickly.
Amen.
And then you will be destroyed. And that is the essence. If God hadn't brought Christ to us on earth here to die for our sin, and as Isaiah said, unless the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of the army, had left us as a seed, we would have become like Sodom and we would have become like Gomorrah. We would have been destroyed totally. But he left us with a seed. His son came to die and shed his blood so that sin will not have full control over us. So that the sin that will lead us to perpetual death will not have power over our life. If God himself hadn't come and preserved our seed, the army of God, God himself will fight for you. Sister, brother, you may have nothing, but you have God. He can fight for you. Today, I want you to go with this God. Now, when they arrested Jesus, and Peter, you always say Peter, took a cutlass or a sword. Ghana, we don't know sword, we know cutlass. And cut. A point came, and on his way, Jesus said, when they were trying to kill, he said, look, it's not that I can't defend myself. Look, I could ask the Father. There's military waiting. Heaven was on alert. High alert. They just want Jesus to say, hey, come and help me. Like you see. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in a place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than what? 12 legions of what? Angels. The angels were on alert and they don't understand why the Creator is being beaten by what he's created. They don't understand why this man who's in heaven, all of them bow to, this common human beings, sinful man, without good brains, look at what they're doing to him. Jesus, just make a way. Let the Father send us. Let us go down there. One angel can kill thousands of people, millions of people. Just bring a legion and finish the whole earth. You don't kill one person. Kill all of them. Huh? You become angry with all human beings. They were just waiting. It took Jesus, oh, if it was me, if it was you, cry, they will slap you, whip you, carry you, put you on the cross, and they will slap you and tell you, prophesy, who slapped you? Making fun of you. Somebody with power who can still keep that power and allow himself to be treated like that. The angels didn't understand, and they still can't understand why the one who brought life, they want to kill him. He said, Peter, it's not because I don't have people to fight for me. Hey, I can just ask the Father, and he'll give me how many? The 12 legion. 12 legion. A legion is about 1,500, 1,000 to 2,000 to 4,000. Let's take 2,000 per legion. Because in the scripture of the New Testament, 2,000, when Jesus cast out the legion, the man, it went and entered, let me say, one entered one pig. 2,000 times 12. 24,000. Even one angel can finish Ghana, Nigeria, Togo, Benin, Cote d'Ivoire, the whole West Africa, one, within 3 seconds, then 240. Ah! No, God can bring all this to come and finish all these people, but having power to destroy, but not destroying. So, there are angels that are there that can also fight. There are spiritual angels there that are waiting, ready to fight. But he allowed himself to be killed. How many of you would have done that? If it's me, me flip as in you and so, as if I'm. I will come down. I'm telling the truth. I will descend. I'll come down. I said, you people I'm coming to die for. Look at the way you're treating me. Kai, you're ungrateful. I'm coming down. If it's you, you also come down. That's why I cherish what he did. Not that he didn't have power to come down. Not that he didn't have power to fight back. But having power to fight back and not fighting back for the purposes of God to be accomplished. And there are certain times we can do something, but because of God. Because of the purpose and the plan of God, you let it go. Hey, yeah! Nonso, the God of the world, he fight for you. And as you go home, I want you to remember that God is not only God who is a anchor. He's a God who also fights. He's the head of the army. If you enter into a place and there's warfare in your family, warfare in your home, warfare on your health, warfare on other things, I want you to remember that God knows how to fight. He will help us fight the battles we can't fight. And God, the God of Sabao, will fight for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have battle to fight? Yes. Do you have warfare to fight? Yes. If you don't have some, then you have a problem. Either you are not there. God will fight your battle for you. And I pray that God will help us and God will fight and fight and fight and fight for us. Heaven will come together on your behalf and fight on your behalf. The God of hosts will fight and continue to fight. Yes, it is great. Amen. God bless you. Amen.